Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I'm Shannon Bream.
I'm Will Kane.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Thursday, April 27th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. There's a standoff happening right now in Washington, D.C. between the President of the United States and the Speaker of the House. These two men both want to raise the debt ceiling before the country goes into a default by June, but the Republican Speaker wants the Democratic President to also cut government spending. Republicans made a big move Wednesday by passing a new bill which would do just that, but Democrats are accusing them of playing politics.
We've already passed this legislation, so it's not political posturing. It is our platform. It's what we believe is in the best interest of the American public.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
A major victory for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Wednesday when his plan to raise the debt limit, the so-called Limit Save Grow Act, was passed in the House.
The yeas are 217, the nays are 215, the bill is passed.
McCarthy beaming afterwards as he got just enough votes to get this through.
House Republicans just passed the only bill in Washington that lifts the debt limit, ends wasteful Washington spending, and puts America back on the right economic path.
The speaker says he's down to raise the debt limit, but wants to negotiate with the president. Mr. Biden had some thoughts about that idea.
Happy to meet with McCarthy, but not on whether or not the debt limit gets extended. That's not negotiable.
The bill may never get to the president anyways, because over in the Democratic-controlled Senate, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says
it has no hope of ever becoming law.
But with the passage of this bill in the House, the speaker now has the president in a precarious position.
Well, the main thing I like about it is it includes some of our top priorities that we believe will be enormously helpful to the American public.
Our guest today is Congressman Gary Palmer, a Republican who represents Alabama's 6th District.
That are struggling with the Biden inflation, that are struggling to make ends meet. I think there's something like 70% of the people earning $100,000 a year are living paycheck to paycheck in this Biden economy.
Yeah, it's tough out there for sure. And inflation really is a tough issue, especially going into an election year with many Americans struggling. But this bill that was passed by the Republican-led House doesn't look like it has great prospects. Just yesterday, the majority leader in the Senate, Democrat Chuck Schumer, says it's going to be dead on arrival when it gets there. President Biden has threatened a veto. So with such grim prospects, what do you think the future of not only this legislation, but the negotiation over the debt ceiling looks like?
Well, I think that they're making a big mistake in saying that this legislation is dead on arrival, because we're going to get out and talk to the American people what's in it. Not only do we address the energy issues, which are a major driver of inflation, we're also addressing the issue of paying people not to work. And I think the average American would agree with us that it makes no sense to be borrowing more money that we're paying interest on, that is part of what's mortgaging, we used to say, our grandchildren's futures. Now we're mortgaging our own futures with this excessive spending. So we're literally borrowing money, paying interest on it, to pay people not to work. And a significant portion of what was in the package we passed yesterday were work requirements for able-bodied childless adults between the ages of 18 and 59, which, by the way, John, was pretty much what the 1996 Welfare Reform Act required, that then Senator Joe Biden voted for.
Right. Let's get back to the debt ceiling here just for a moment. Democrats are arguing that what's going on here is a lot of political posturing by Republicans. They say that the GOP raised the debt ceiling 3 times under former President Trump without any conditions. Now the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, wants a negotiation before it gets raised.
What is different now where the Republicans want a negotiation, whereas in the previous administration, they didn't necessarily need one to raise the debt limit?
Well, this is a different majority than the one that we had. And I'm not sure we were in the majority when all of those debt ceiling bills passed. But what I want to get across to people, this is not political posturing. Everything that's in that debt limit bill are bills that we've already passed. The elimination of the funding for the 87,000 IRS agents, we've already passed that. The elimination of all the green slush funds, the $27 billion green bank slush fund, we had already eliminated that in another bill that we passed, which Schumer refuses to take up. We've addressed the issue of all the tax credits and subsidies for green energy, which the CBO said was $371 billion. Turns out that it's closer to $1.2 trillion because of the inaccurate estimates of the CBO. So we've already passed this legislation, John. So it's not political posturing. It is our platform. It's what we believe is in the best interest of the American public. And in addition to that, we've lowered the spending over the next 10 years to $4.5 trillion, and we've moved the spending limit back to the 2022 budget that was Obama's budget.
Now, this legislation you're talking about here, raising the debt limit, the Limit Save Grow Act, it was championed by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Your statement about it being the Republican platform, really, it's a big part of his platform as well, as he was the one who got this passed. How do you think Speaker McCarthy has performed so far in his time?
I think he's done a really good job, and I think he's surprised a lot of people with his leadership style. In the past, it was top down, and many of these debt limit bills, I've been here 8 years and 3 months and 19 days, I think, but who's counting? It may be a little bit longer, but it was always top down. It was their way or the highway. Now McCarthy has engaged everybody. It's a bottom-up leadership style. When you see the bills that are being introduced, they're starting in subcommittee and then going to the full committee and then going to the rules committee and then going to the floor. That's regular order. We didn't have that before under Pelosi. And he's allowing members to give their input. And I think it's the way we have to lead. And regardless of the size of the majority, I think the people who've been elected to represent their constituents should have that opportunity, and they're getting that opportunity.
It's been a rocky year for the American economy and could get worse if the country defaults on its debt. But there are other issues going also, some of which Republicans say have been caused by out-of-control government spending and an irresponsible push to green energy. One of those Republicans is Congressman Gary Palmer, representative of Alabama's 6th District. He believes that green energy push is helping China more than the United States, and that we need to be mindful that China is saying one thing but doing another. We'll have more with the congressman next on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition. We're speaking with Congressman Gary Palmer. He's a Republican, represents Alabama's 6th District. Congressman Palmer, you mentioned energy earlier. I know you have some very strong opinions on how the nation's energy is managed. Very simply, what are we doing wrong? What can we do better? How do you think this rollout of a green energy push is going so far?
Well, the green energy push will be destructive of our economy. I've been speaking to a lot of people, including a number of diplomats from around the world, and the Biden administration tried to make it out that our energy price hike was the result of the war in Ukraine. That couldn't be farther from the truth. The war in Ukraine did not create the energy crisis. It exposed it. We've spent the last decade and a half neglecting our hydrocarbon infrastructure. And when we tried to address it in a positive way, in the first week in office, Biden shut down construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have brought 835,000 barrels of oil per day into the United States. We need to be building additional refineries. We need to be building more LNG facilities. We are an energy superpower. And when you unleash our energy capacity, it will bring the price of everything down, because everything that you come in contact with that you use or consume has an energy cost that gets passed on to the consumer. It's also very troubling to me, and I've shared this sentiment with some of the dignitaries and diplomats that I've been meeting with, is that if we haven't learned anything else from the war in Ukraine, we should have learned this one fundamental truth, that no nation should be reliant on an adversarial nation for something as important to its economy and its national security as energy. And what's happened in Europe is they're trying to wean themselves off of dependency on Russian gas and oil, is they're going to try to build their economy around 100% renewables. Well, that makes them dependent on China, which in my opinion is worse. That's the direction that this Democrat minority, the Democrat Party here in the Biden administration, is taking the country. They're literally going to make the United States, which has unbelievable reserves of oil and gas and other resources, put those aside, try to go to 100% renewable and make us reliant on China, which makes no sense.
Let's talk about China for a moment, because Chinese President Xi Jinping, he's been a busy man recently, meeting with world leaders, probably most notably Vladimir Putin of Russia. But he also got together with French President Emmanuel Macron. And just this week, he had a phone call for the first time with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. So President Xi is busy, but the United States also very wary of China right now. What can we do to counter this growing Chinese influence around the world?
Well, I think we need to reengage with people, other nations, in a different way. I think that there's a soft power way to address this, and that is to work around our own economic best interest. That's another area that I've worked on, to form a Western Hemisphere alliance that focuses on Western investment in places like South and Central America and Latin America, in Sub-Saharan Africa. I think we need to start reaching out to nations in Central Asia. And because we really need an alliance of the free nations of the world, because as I pointed out to people, we had a hearing yesterday, and some of my Democrat colleagues kept talking about how much how many advances China's made in terms of electric vehicles. And I pointed out to them that China's objective is not to save the planet from climate change. China's objective is to rule the world as its sole superpower. And I think a lot of leaders now are beginning to understand that China is not in this as a benefactor to be helpful to other nations, to help them grow their economies and increase their capacity as democracies and free markets. They're using them as vassal states.
One very important Asian nation that the United States has grown very closely with is South Korea. Their president at the White House yesterday, it was a full state dinner on Wednesday night there. And also that president is allowed to let U.S. nuclear capable submarines be docked in South Korea. How do you view that news?
Well, I think it's positive. I think we've got a 70-year relationship with South Korea. And what South Korea represents to the rest of the world, particularly nations that have been under the thumb of communist governments and repressive governments, is what can happen when you unleash the potential of your people. And you can only do that through democratic government and through representative government, through free markets. And you see, I've been to South Korea a couple of times, and I've told people Seoul is the most modern ancient city I've ever been in. It's remarkable. And that's the real message here, is we spent American treasure and blood in the 1950s to save South Korea from a communist regime. And you have literally in North Korea an example of what would have happened had we not engaged in that war and helped those people gain their freedom. And the contrast couldn't be more stark.
Congressman Gary Palmer, we really appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks for joining us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thanks for having me on, John.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform, and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.